The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you're in the home 6010. Fantasy Focus.
We are on to week 10. Welcome into the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast, Tuesday, November 5th. My name is Field Yates. I am joined I'm my best friend in the whole wide world, Mike Clay.
How are you? That sounded a little sarcastic.
What the heck,
a little
Field
bit.
Yates?
Will I ever, ever be able to get through one introduction without somebody pushing back?
You have looked me in my eyes, grabbed the sides of my face, the curls of my beard.
That's correct.
And you have told me that I am your best friend. And then right in front of me with my own eyes, I just watched you say it to Mike freaking Clay.
I told you I love you, which is different than best friend.
Okay, I take back everything I just said.
I was going to say, which would you prefer? Would you rather that
I love you or you're
my best friend?
I will stand down.
Wait, who's your best friend, Daniel?
Field Yates.
Wow.
And who's your best friend, Mike?
So you lied to me, too.
Mike, you don't have beard hair curls.
My best friend is my daughters and wife.
Yes. Oh, okay. Mike!
Boom.
Wow!
Boom!
That is like that under all of us. We're sitting here. We're like trying to be funny and witty, and then Mike is like, "I'm gonna be so cute right now."
And Chapin's watching this, isn't she?
Yeah, she is watching it right now. She's my best friend. I love you too, babe. How's that?
It's too late.
Two can play this game.
It's too late.
A little late. Now.
We are so screwed.
Rewind.
Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
Cowboys win a game that I think actually was noteworthy for the game itself. Listen, don't get me wrong. They're now, 6-3?
Five and three,
the Cowboys are an important win to keep pace with the Eagles in that division. But I really think it's the tangents of this game that were the beauty of it. So think about some of the things that happened that may not dominate the headlines. Well, maybe they do. We had a black cat on the field.
Yes.
A black cat. That was awesome.
That
Hilarious.
Was the moment of the game. Yes.
Yes. And there were so many good jokes. And I had a tweet queued up and I was like, I can't bring myself to do it. And then like 20 other people tweeted it and I was like, thank God I didn't.
What was it?
My joke was going to be that black cat spent more time in the end zone at MetLife Stadium than the Jets did this season.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's like the whole internet had the same thought. So I'm glad I just had it in the past.
We all do the same thing, right? When it happens, you're like, what's the joke?
Who's got to get it first, right?
What is it? Yeah, it's there.
Fast fingers.
Yeah, I didn't have a good one either. I just went with meow.
Meow.
I just went meow.
Meow. Meow. Well done.
I didn't have anything better than that.
Beyond that, though, the Cowboys scored a late defensive touchdown in this game.
Yeah.
Like a completely inconsequential play, by the way. 30-18 was a score at the time. They score a late touchdown on defense. It swings matchups, I know, including one for Daniel.
Yeah, swung two for me.
I still love you.
I lost by 2.5 points because of that late Dallas touchdown.
I lost by 0.3 in one.
Oh, my God.
Another one, I had just taken the lead because I had Daniel Jones in a deep league, just took the lead, and I lost the points for the fumble, and I still held on for a win. Another one, I had the Cowboys defense, and I won. I'm in too many leagues, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, so you really are. You really are in too many leagues. But let's get to the game. Not a ton of necessarily outlier-type things to this game. Dak Prescott has a fine game, actually a good game for fantasy football purposes. Mm-hmm. 21.5 points after a slow start. He had 3 passing touchdowns, ran the ball effectively when he had the opportunities, as he always does. Ezekiel Elliott had 13.9 fantasy points, and you're like, kind of disappointed. Yet it was a season high, 139 yards on the ground. He had 0 catches last night. Weird. I mean, there was no takeaway, Mike. I just think it really was they were running the football so effectively. They gave a couple opportunities to Tony Pollard to catch the football, and that's about it.
Yeah, that was his worst fantasy week of the season, too.
Unbelievable.
In a game
right?
where he had over 130 yards, his worst game. He was top 18 every other week coming in. So, yeah, I mean, there's not much to say. Probably felt like there was a little too much Tony Pollard out there.
I agree.
Made you a little nervous, but especially when you just paid Zeke so much money. And obviously, the drop from last season in passing down work is a pretty substantial concern,
sure.
At least as keeping up with guys like Barkley, who we'll get to, and Christian McCaffrey and Dalvin Cook, like that bothers me a little bit, but still a solid play, a strong RB1.
I still think he's like a top 6 running back for the rest of the season. Maybe even a top 5. Heck, maybe even the best running back, except for Christian McCaffrey. Going forward, Amari Cooper has a pretty generic Amari Cooper day, 4-for-80 with a touchdown. Gosh, is that guy fast. Crazy how the narrative of trades can change. After last year, people raked the Cowboys over the coals. You gave a first-round pick for Amari Cooper. Imagine if you could go back and redo that trade right now. We'd be saying you stole Amari Cooper for a first-round pick. So certainly a worthwhile investment for Amari Cooper and the Cowboys so far. Michael Gallup, Mike, we thought had a chance to have a monster week. I believe there was a board bet, though, Or do we try to posit a Michael Gallup versus John Brown board bet last week? I don't think it actually came to fruition, right?
I think we did one, right?
Okay.
Was it Brown Gallup? Yeah.
I think I had
Brown, right?
Yeah, and I had Gallup.
Yeah,
so
who won that?
I think I win. I get 11.3 fantasy points.
Where did Brown
end up? I know he did not have a monster game, did he?
He didn't have a touchdown. I think he had a...
We're going to figure this one out right now.
I think we do have one. Wasn't it Cole Beasley that got in the end zone for the Bills?
Cole Beasley did score, yes, but I'm pretty sure...
Yeah, Kyle's looking it up right now. Mr. Kyle Soppy.
Mr. Kyle Soppy, ESPN. I don't know, Mike, though. Kind of a sort of a less than stellar performance from Gallup. Fine.
All right, I found it here.
Okay.
It might be close. 11.6 for Brown.
Dang it!
4 for 76. Is that enough? Is that more than Gallup?
That's a win. 11.3 for Michael Gallup.
Wow. It was a close call. We were pretty close on both. So.
Good argument there for Michael Gallup versus John Brown. Gallup, though, I think maybe there was some optimism because of the first game of the season when he went crazy against the Giants. 7 catches for, I believe, 183 yards. And you're like, yo, this guy could be like a top 25 wide receiver. The volume suggests, Mike, that it's not going to be the case in this offense. There's still some upside because he's a good player and the offense is good, but I don't think you can really count on Michael Gallup week to week right now.
Yeah, I think he's borderline. Obviously, he's been a little bit boom bust. He's been under 50 yards in 3 straight, but always going to be a candidate for touchdowns. There's a ton of skill. There's a ton of size. I just wrote about it for the Fantasy 32. I believe it's a 15%+ target share in every game this season. So you actually have a decent floor, certainly better than one you had last season. And it's still a run-first offense, but it's a little bit more balanced than it's been in years past because they can throw the ball. They have reliable weapons at the wide receiver position, and Dak has been maybe the most efficient quarterback in the league through the air this season. He's been terrific, aside of Drew Brees.
Yeah, probably the big problem with Michael Gallup, he's a vertical threat, and the efficiency goes, you know, the likelihood of connecting on a 20-plus yard pass in terms of air yards decreases. I mean, every yard further from the line of scrimmage makes it less likely to be completed. Gallup has caught just 50% of his targets over his last 4 games. Jason Witten kind of just keeps on humming along. I actually really respect this from Jason Witten. Back on the field, has 7 points in 7 of his 8 games this season, Mike. Now, I have sort of resorted to a new trick on the waiver wire column. We'll talk about waiver ads a little bit later on in the show. But rather than sort of highlighting tight ends, absent something crazy happening, like, you know, maybe Jacob Hollister really does become the guy in Seattle, but I don't think I'm not at that point yet personally. Mm-hmm. As I go with a tight end roulette each week, here are like 3 to 5 guys who you could play in your lineup and hope that they find 10 points for you. And Jason Witten is a part of that group. I mean, the floor is reasonable because he's reliable and they throw him the football a decent amount. Now, the ceiling is not very reasonable. It's like 13.8 fantasy points, which he got you last night.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just sort of, he is what he is, right? I mean, he's a solid tight end, too.
Yeah, and he kind of came out on fire to start the season with touchdowns in each of his first 2 games, and it was something you knew wasn't going to sustain itself, right? He doesn't get a lot of work near the goal line. He's never been a resource near the goal line, and you thought, well, he's going to fall off in that department, and he'll get his 5 or 6 targets. He's not going to do much with the ball in his hands. He'll just fall down and get you 40 yards. And that's been it, basically. He had 58 yards in this game on 8 catches. Pretty good PPR day, obviously, just a little under 14 points. But he's only averaging 40.1 receiving yards a game. And the 58 he had last night is his most in a game this season. Hasn't scored a touchdown since week 2. So, you know, you kind of nailed it. He's after that big 8, there's a lot of guys. There might be 12 guys that you can rotating, maybe now Mike Gesicki's in there, Noah Fant. He's right in that conversation, probably on the high end in PPR, not in non-PPR, but in PPR on the high end of that group, and that's where he fits right now.
Yeah, Daniel Jones of the Giants, not a great night for them. They had a lot of opportunities. The first play of the game, Antoine Bethea picks off Dak Prescott. They have a short field. They turn it into a field goal. They had other opportunistic plays from their defense that did not turn into much from their offense. This is a game the Giants probably will look back on and say we should have won. Daniel Jones, Mike, for a guy that had some brilliant moments early on in his starting tenure, has looked like a rookie recently.
10 fumbles, 8 interceptions this season.
Fumbles lost or just fumbles?
Just fumbles in general. As in, he fumbled the football, some of them get recovered. That's a lot. 10 and 8, that's going to kill you. But he's a rookie, and you kind of expect that. He does have 2 top 2 fantasy weeks,
right?
So we've seen his massive ceiling. But
doesn't it feel like he exposes good opportunities? And I mean that, actually in a good way. Like when he has been gifted, or not gifted, when he has run into down opponents, he takes advantage of them.
Yeah, certainly. He has the 2 top 2 weeks. He's had Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay and Detroit.
Yeah.
You know who he plays next? The Jets.
There you go.
So as much as, like potential streaming option would be Daniel Jones next week. Just, you're right though, like against superior competition, and we saw it against the Patriots. We saw it against the Cowboys last night. We've seen it in other matchups where he has just struggled to look like the player that I think he will one day become.
Yeah, 19th or worse in fantasy points at quarterback in the other five games. So he's the two top twos. The other five starts have been fantasy disasters for sure. So the definition of boom bust so far. And again, he's a rookie. I would say we've been kind of spoiled by young quarterbacks playing well in recent years. But if you look back at league history, this is a pretty good rookie season for a quarterback. I mean, at least the fact that he's showing flashes, he could have a future.
Yeah, by the way, I like the prospect. Like, I liked him more. I like him now. I think he's going to be a good quarterback in the NFL for a long time. He just has basically checked off all of the rookie mistake boxes. Tons of fumbles, inconsistent, too many interceptions, and sometimes just poor decision-making overall. Now, there is also, it's like, you know, this is, you know, he's mixed in some brilliant throws, and he has had some rushing upside. He, you know, had a design run last night for 16 yards. He's thrown some absolute strikes. There are some good weapons on that offense.
That block he laid out for Golden
Tate.
That
block was legit, Daniel. that was a legit block.
How many points you get for that?
It's the last block he'll ever throw.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how many. But like, that's part of what makes a franchise and a group of fans be like, all right, you know what? I get it. You've had some mistakes here, these things, but like, I am behind you as my franchise quarterback.
Well, that's, you know, it's a very funny point. And I'll just quickly tangent because we'll get to Saquon in a second. But my buddy, or our buddy, Steve Weich, who works for the NFL Network, did a video, had a hit yesterday, and he was talking about the old quarterback adage that when the ball is on the ground, especially if you fumble it yourself, like a quarterback either dives for it or doesn't. And he was making the comparison. He noted how Sam Darnold on Sunday, there was a bad snap in the end zone, and Sam just kind of watched it fall into the back of the end zone for an eventual safety. Sort of contrast there, right? Like, Sam, you wish you saw more. And I don't think Steve would, no one's trying to roast Sam Darnold. Just like, that's the kind of play that you'd love to see your quarterback make. Mm-hmm. Now, last night, I'm glad that Daniel Jones didn't get hurt, but I also think it's one of those where his linemen are just like, all right, hey man, like, we know you're tough, but like, we're good. No more of that, you know, like, or you run up there and you do the dodge, right? You go up there, you run, like you go up there and you kind of olay the potential tackler and hope that you can just distract him for a minute, freeze him in space. That's Daniel Jones' new blocking strategy there.
Yeah. It's tough. I mean, you see that too with quarterbacks. So like Darnold, the guys were past him. Like if he would have dove in that pile, he would have been late anyway. So you're like, if he would have dove in there, they might have been the same, say the same thing. Like, don't do that. It's almost like running backs where people like the old tough guys that lower their shoulder and go after the last blocker, you know, or the last tackler instead of stepping out of bounds. If I have a guy like, I don't know, Le'Veon Bell on my fantasy lineup and I see him do that, I'm like, dude, just step out of bounds. Like, I don't want you to get hurt. You're going to get maybe a half an extra yard. So it's tough. I get it. I get the appeal, but in fantasy, just don't get hurt.
Mike, are you worried at all? Not worried. Has Saquon Barkley disappointed you at all when he's been healthy this season?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, he only has three touchdowns, only three top 10 fantasy weeks. That's not what we've come to expect from him. Top 17 in five of his six healthy weeks this season. But again, the only three top 10s, we expected him to be up there with Saquon Barkley and essentially doing what Dalvin Cook and what did I say? I said Barkley.
Said,
McCaffrey and Cook.
Yep.
McCaffrey, Cook, Barkley. We would expect similar production from all three guys. The rushing efficiency has been bad for about a month now, and he's really bailing you out with a lot of receiving work. And I'm definitely a little nervous. I mean, the touches are there. The volume's there. The snaps are there. You still got to fire him up. He's still an RB1. But the ceiling, like, kind of like what we talked about with Zeke, the ceiling is not where it was last year. It's unfortunate.
You mentioned the rushing efficiency over the past month. More specifically, during his last four games, 59 carries for 174 yards. That's 2.95 yards per carry. He has just one carry that has gone 14 yards or longer during that stretch. So it has not been the same explosive plays, not that the player has changed, we just haven't seen it that much from Saquon Barkley. Nothing you can do about it other than fret over the fact that you probably took him number one when there might have been a part of you that wondered about taking Christian McCaffrey. Mm-hmm. And if that was the decision you made, we don't blame you, but it also didn't work out.
Yep.
Heck, I mean, it was a very reasonable decision to do or to make at the time. Hasn't worked out quite yet in your favor. Golden Tate, 6 for 42. Mike, he is what he is. Four straight games with 6-plus receptions, three red zone targets, and one awesome play last night. Locked in is like he's a flex play.
Yeah, three straight top 20s entering this dud week in week 9. His targets 6, 9, 11, 10, and 6. Pretty solid. We don't know when Sterling Shepard comes back. When he does, it's going to hurt Tate's volume a little bit, but he's still going to be a flex option.
Yeah, and we talked about Evan Ingram, or I should say we talked about the top eight tight ends. Mike, Evan Ingram is part of those eight top tight ends. Six catches for 48 yards for Evan Ingram last night. Really explosive player. Not more than 14 fantasy points for the fifth straight game. That being said, Mike, like, he's still locked in his tight end one.
Yeah, five top 10 weeks, averaging 8.6 targets per game. He's in that top eight. There's eight tight ends. If they're active, you're starting them this season, and he's most certainly one of them, probably in the mid to high range. Obviously, a ton of upside and a high floor, averaging 8.5 targets per game.
Of all the tight ends in the NFL, if you had just told me, like, hey, if you just popped in and had a random play where Evan Ingram ran a route not on the end of the line of scrimmage, like not in a tight end formation, he looks the most like a wide receiver of any tight end in football. Like, George Kittle is almost every bit the athlete, but George Kittle is also, like, he's huge, like, bulky. Like, Evan Ingram, if you just looked at his, like, he looks like a wide receiver who happens to be able to play tight end as well. What an incredible player Evan Ingram is, even if the production last night was fine for fantasy. Not league-winning or week-winning or anything like that, but still a player that, as Mike mentioned, locked in. In just a minute, we're going to get to some news and the waiver wire, but first, Mike Clay has a word for us from TD Ameritrade.
I do, and I have a question for you, actually.
Okay.
Do you know that fantasy football feeling?
Which one are you referring to?
I'm referring to when the excitement for a new week builds.
Yes, I love that feeling!
You flex. Let's see it. There it is. You flex your analytical skills, actually.
I can't do that part.
Muscle. I can do that. You flex your analytical skills by poring over stats, studying charts, and trying to spot trends. I've done that once in a while. Well, what if I told you that you can use those skills to invest and feel that same sense of anticipation every single day? TD Ameritrade thinks you can. That's because a lot of those same analytical skills you use to set your lineup can help you build a portfolio. Not to mention, TD Ameritrade has all the education and investing tools you need to feel confident when you take the trading floor. There's paper money, so you can practice trading risk-free, charting to help you spot trends in the market, and they'll even create an investing training plan that's unique to you and your needs, complete with exclusive videos, webcasts, and courses. Just visit tdameritrade.com/fantasy to learn more. That's tdameritrade.com/fantasy to get started. Member SIPC.
Thank you, Mike, and we've got some news, and it's all centered around the Miami Dolphins, who got themselves a win on Sunday. Two pieces of news here. Mark Walton has been suspended for the next four games. Now, remember, Walton ended up in Miami in part because he was arrested multiple times during his time with the Bengals. He was waived, not claimed on waivers, eventually found his way back home to Miami. He's become their starter of late, Mike. I'm going to ask this question, even though I know the answer. Is there anybody you would consider in that Dolphins backfield to pick up right now?
Well, look, Matthew's off today. If he was here, he'd probably have the opposite answer of me. Of course not, no. Look, Galen Ballage is going to be hard not to rank in the top 50 this week because six teams are on a bye, and by default, he should see upward of 15 touches because they have Patrick Laird and Miles Gaskin, who have combined to play zero NFL offensive snaps.
Wow.
Unless they sign someone, Jay Ajayi reunion? I don't know.
I can't see it, right?
I'm just saying, someone, right? Someone add to the fold. You would think they'll bring someone in. He's probably going to start. But here's the thing. This season, 70 yards on 35 carries, averaging less than 1 yard after contact per attempt, has caught four of his 13 targets this season, averaging 3.1 yards per target. This is par for the course for him going back to Arizona State. He's just not a very effective back. He goes down on first contact, struggles to catch the football. It's just not a guy that I'm going to spend any capital on waivers this week. And then at the end of the week, if I'm desperate at running back, maybe I'll scoop him up and hope for 5 points. But that's about it. I can't. Maybe in a deeper league field, like a dynasty 16-teamer, maybe I'd grab a Laird or Gaskin just to throw a dart. Maybe Gaskin comes in the seventh rounder this year and makes some plays. He's a bit of a playmaker, a little undersized. Maybe he becomes the next Walton for 4 weeks. That's about it.
If I were the Dolphins, I would go find the best running back on a practice squad right now and sign that player.
I'm with you.
Give Josh Adams a call. Jets.
Yeah, that's a great call.
It'd be fun to see him. He obviously played well. He led the Eagles in rushing last year. He's on the Jets practice squad right now. He signed with somebody? Well, he's on the practice squad, isn't he? Yeah, he's on the Jets practice squad. So he can, he's on the Jets practice
squad.
There's
a tweet saying he's got signed to the active roster.
Today? Just now?
So the Dolphins tried to...
ESPN Radio. Definitely happened, right?
So the Dolphins tried to...
You know what? That makes me nervous about, well, That makes me know. Okay, so I literally had no idea. That was the best running back that I could think of on an active roster.
That's amazing.
So there's two things here. Be concerned about Bell.
Yeah, that's
what you were going
to
say.
I don't think it's anything to do with the – that would be too fast. I mean, the Dolphins, like, that would be too much.
It could be. The Dolphins could have tried to sign him, and then the team has the option of offering the player a spot on the active roster as well. So they could have wanted to keep him.
I bet it's Bell.
It's possible.
It's got to be Bell.
I would think so.
We have a conversation about this on the fly here?
Let's do this
to the video team.
Let's figure it out.
That's more important than Mark Walton and Kalen Ballage and the fantasy impact there. But, Mike, so for those that missed it yesterday, Le'Veon Bell went in for an MRI, and it's one of those, like, moments, right?
Mm-hmm.
Knee issue for Le'Veon for yesterday. That was the reason for the MRI? Yeah, I believe it was MRI on Le'Veon Bell's knee yesterday. That was weird. I thought you guys were trolling me a minute ago. Le'Veon Bell went in for an MRI, and we don't know the severity of the issue. Adam Gase did not have information beyond the fact that there was an MRI yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they are signing Josh Adams certainly raises your eyebrows a little bit, because when you're doing it on Tuesday, Mike, it probably means you know something, and you know the results of Le'Veon Bell's MRI, and it doesn't sound – that sounds a little bit ominous is what I would say. So, just for right now, again, this is very speculative. We are putting the cart before the horse, so to speak. If you were the Jets, or if you could add a Jets running back right now, is it actually Josh Adams rather than Ty Montgomery or Bilal Powell?
No, I don't think so.
And was it even worth it?
No, I think Ty Montgomery would be my first add, because we saw him – essentially replace Le'Veon Bell during the preseason, and he looked good to the point that they said he was going to be a factor in the offense during the regular season. Now he's not been. He's averaging 8 snaps per game, and he has actually been outsnapped by Bilal Powell over the past 5 weeks. That said, I think if you look at how running backs have scored their fantasy points in this offense so far, they can't run the ball. Le'Veon Bell's efficiency running has not been good behind that offensive line, and now Kelechi Osemele is obviously gone from the team. Where Bell has really bailed you out is as a pass catcher with big target shares. Now, he had a few games where he didn't, but in general, that's where he's won. And that's where Ty Montgomery, a converted wide receiver, can really shine. So I think if there's a guy that's going to catch 5-6 balls, that would be the guy that I'd be more interested in, as opposed to Powell, who might get the between-the-tackle work along with Josh Adams and maybe catch 1 or 2 passes. So for me, the priority would actually be Montgomery. The more dynamic Powell, and I would still put Adams third, even though he should get some carries.
Okay, there you have it. Mike says Ty Montgomery, he will be added to the waiver wire column at some point, maybe during the time that this podcast is being recorded. We'll see whether or not we get any more information on Le'Veon Bell. This sounds like one of those stories that could move fast, given the interest in Le'Veon Bell. We're going to come back in just a moment to discuss other players that should be added on the waiver wire. But first, a word from our friends, our best friends, over at the Fantasy Show.
These field days.
Moving along to this week's waiver wire column, now available on ESPN. And Mike, I'm going to start things off, and I'm going to let you chime in with some added insight here. But on Monday, Bruce Arians said that Ronald Jones has earned his role as the new starting running back of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We'll see whether this is just a temporary assignment or whether this is a full-time thing, but Jones is coming off of a 16.2 fantasy point effort, matched a season high with 20 touches. He's seen more touches in each of the past 3 games. He's run effectively. He's the 37th overall pick in last year's draft. It's hard to find a full-time starting running back or a starting running back period at this time of the year. But I like myself some. I'm excited for Ronald Jones going forward.
Yeah, I'm a little excited too. Still, obviously, some risk here, because would it surprise you if he came out and put up 7 for 14 and then Peyton Barber took over again and it was back to Jones on the bench? And we go through this again. We see this all the time with committees at running back. But certainly some optimism from this past week with him playing a career-high 41 snaps. And here's the big one for me. He only has 11 targets this season, but he ran a career-high 17 pass routes on Sunday. That's a sign that maybe he'll see 3 targets a game. And if he's getting 15 to 20 carries a game, that's more than enough to be a viable fantasy starter. Also, they like to throw the ball out. He has 0 carries inside the 5, so we need some goal line work here for Ronald Jones as well. I like him more in non-PPR, but there's certainly some flex value right now with Ronald Jones. That's where I'd be comfortable with him, but he does have RB2 upside.
Yeah, I'm with you in the sense that, like, first of all, Bruce Arians cares not about your fantasy lineup decision, so he could be fickle with his decision to make him the starter. But just, again, When you're evaluating options right now on the waiver wire, and I tell you the pickings are slim, I would certainly be encouraging you to look for a guy that at least has a chance for 15 to 20 touches a game, provided he continues to play well. And the schedule this week against Arizona does not scare me. And actually, after New Orleans next week, the schedule is fine with Atlanta and Jacksonville also on the upcoming slate for the Buccaneers. The TD Ameritrade Fantasy Trend of the Week. Excuse me, Fantasy Trends are brought to you by TD Ameritrade. And Zach Pascal is our Player of the Week in the focus. Pascal is available in nearly 98% of leagues. He had 5 catches for 76 yards, plus a touchdown. Mike, when he's gotten opportunities so far this year, Pascal has been pretty effective for the Colts, the former Old Dominion standout.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And the key number is 94, and he played 94% of the snaps this past week, and that was with Paris Campbell playing a role. Paris Campbell is out as well as T.Y. Hilton for a while.
Yep. Campbell broke his hand.
Yeah, so he's expected to miss about a month, I guess. That's roughly the timetable, and of course, Hilton expected to miss more time. So Pascal is the number one wide receiver for this team for now. Paced the team with 6 targets this past week, put up a good 576 receiving line with a touchdown, has 70 or more yards in 3 of his past 5 games, although he's been under 10 in the other 2. However, Hilton played in those games. We saw a little Campbell, right? So I think he has a higher floor now as their clear number one receiver playing every down, and a good matchup against Ryan Lewis this week, who, I mean, he was like the desperation ad for the Eagles about a month ago when they had nothing at corner. They cut him quickly. The Dolphins picked him up. He shadowed Robbie Anderson this past week. That's how rough it is at corner for Miami right now. He actually did well, I guess, because Robbie Anderson had a rough day, but I would consider this to be a pretty good matchup for Pascal.
Something just not right now with Robbie Anderson. That's another conversation for another time. But I'm with you on Pascal, who's been solid for the Colts. Brian Hoyer was solid in relief duty last week. This team is kind of defined by its grit, its resilience, its ways to figure things out, no matter what football throws at them. Pascal, as you mentioned, Mike, should be the number one wide receiver for at least 2 more weeks if T.Y. Hilton's calf injury timeline is, in fact, as expected out of the gates for the Colts. Now, we mentioned Mark Walton being suspended, but it wasn't the only news surrounding the Dolphins' skill players. Preston Williams, their undrafted rookie free agent, who I believe led all undrafted players in snaps played this year, suffered an ACL tear on Sunday. Just a bummer because he's been a really good story for a Dolphins team that certainly needs some of those right now. Devontae Parker, though, very much under the microscope, again, to use that phrase, Mike, 4 catches, 57 yards, and a touchdown. Now, I know you, and I know that you'll tell me that Devontae Parker has been lucky in the touchdown department of late. And that's true. 4 touchdowns in 5 games is hard to continue to keep pace. But the volume should be there substantially now, kind of already has been, and it should remain that way going forward.
Yeah, 2 things here. First, his volume has already been kind of decent, right? 6+ targets and 55 or more receiving yards in 6 of his 8 games this season. So he's giving you a higher floor than you're expected to get from Devontae Parker. That's one. The other thing is the Dolphins can score touchdowns now. 2 or more touchdowns in 4 straight games. Say what you want about Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's able to get the ball into the end zone at least occasionally. So, with Preston Williams out, Parker is definitely on the flex radar. Maybe he could sneak into the wide receiver 3 conversation. I feel like he's safest as a flex. And quickly on Preston Williams, that's brutal. Like, man, what a great story going from undrafted to playing a big role. He looks like he's going to be a legit player in this league. And I'll just mention this. Even if you're not falling out of it, say you're mid pack right now, and especially if you're out of it and you have like a Carlos Hyde or a Frank Gore or something like that in Dynasty, try to get him because there's contending teams that you can probably get. And he's not one of them guys you're like, no, I have to hold on to Preston Williams for the long term. Like, I think he might be expendable for a team that's contending, and you can maybe send a veteran player like a Hyde or a Gore and maybe get him cheap because he might be their number one receiver next year.
Yeah, he certainly looks the part. I mean, he has certainly shown well. He did show well prior to that injury. A couple of years ago, Colorado State was trotting out Michael Gallup and Preston Williams. How do they lose in the Mountain West Conference?
Quite the duo.
They scored less touchdowns than the other teams.
You are so smart.
That's why you're here.
That's why I love you.
I love you too, buddy.
Hunter Renfrow of the Oakland Raiders over the past couple of games has been hot. 10 catches over his last 2 games, and I think this is more of a deeper league consideration. Now, the Oakland Raiders offense has been solid, actually. They've been efficient over the past month. Derek Carr has played well over the past month. They have dealt with some scheduling issues. They have been away from home for a ton of games in a row. Now they were back, obviously, this past Sunday, and they're back on Thursday night. But Renfro was a player that, you know, we were talking earlier about how the black cat jumped on the field and everybody rushes to Twitter to make a joke.
Yeah.
Every time Hunter Renfro does something, we all rush to make a joke because he was in college for what felt like forever. He just was one of those rare true freshmen that played on a really good team and went wire to wire with a role on a really good team. Most guys who is a true freshman play for a top program, meaning they're going to end up declaring early, right? Hunter Renfro stayed for 4 years at Clemson, productive from start to finish, and in a deep league, just, again, six teams on a bye, useful part of this offense that has sort of found its footing or its confidence of late. Darren Waller has not been as busy of late. Tyra Williams playing again, but did not score a touchdown this past game. Mike, I kind of like Hunter Renfro here a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you said it at the top, only for super deep leagues. I mean, there's really, I usually just jot down a couple notes here for the guys we're going to talk about. For some reason, I have a ton on him, so I'll keep it tight here. But four or fewer catches in seven games before the 6 for 54 and a touchdown on Sunday, 30 or fewer yards in 6 of 8 games. Has only been targeted inside the 5 twice, one end zone target, one at the 2 yard line. At his size, not going to be a good touchdown resource. 15% target share is fine, but not really starting caliber. It's the third run heaviest offense in the NFL. That brings him down too. I mean, Derek Carr is one top 10 fantasy week, despite this fact that this team is 4 for 4. He has a low ceiling. I think I'm only adding him, like I said, in deep PPR leagues. And keep in mind, who was the number one receiver in snaps for the Raiders at wide receiver this week? Do you know who it was?
Hunter Renfro?
No. Zay Jones. It wasn't even close.
Zay Jones was the one. 94% of the snaps.
61
right?
of 67. Tyrell played 54, Renfro only 34. So he is way down the totem pole in terms of usage at wide receiver for the Raiders right now. So like you said, it's only for super deep PPR leagues.
Yeah, that was a bad answer by me. You said all these damning things about Hunter Renfro, and then I guess he played the most.
You were not
snaps.
Listening at all.
That was a, sorry.
You were trying to add Ty Montgomery on waivers. I get
there
it.
Go. Yeah. Ryan Tannehill for the Tennessee Titans actually has 19 plus points in each of his past 3 weeks. He's one of three players that can say that. Matthew Stafford and DeAndre Hopkins. For week 10 purposes, as a streaming quarterback, they play the Chiefs, and they have one of two things that can work in their favor. The Chiefs' defense did play better this past weekend against the Vikings, but still, this is not a team that I think really scares you defensively. Two, if Patrick Mahomes is back, they may not have a choice. They have to keep up. He's an athletic quarterback that can do some damage with his legs. I think Tannehill's on the streaming radar for week 10.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, I have a lot of positive things followed by a disclaimer here. I mean, he is back-to-back top 10 fantasy weeks, as you kind of mentioned. 2-plus touchdowns in all three of those starts. And in fact, the Titans offense is exactly 3 offensive touchdowns in his last in his 3 starts this season. So that's pretty good. The efficiency's been good. Career highs in completion percentage and yards per attempt. 6 touchdowns. He does have 4 interceptions, but you can deal with that if the passing production is good. But here's why I'm a little hesitant. He spent a lot of time in Miami, and say what you want about Adam Gase and you know, the coaching and the skill players around him. But still, Tannehill couldn't overcome pretty much anything. He only had one season in his career better than 22nd at quarterback in fantasy points per game. He just never has been a consistently good QB1 option. He had like that one section of 1 year many years ago. That's it. So I'm definitely nervous about considering him for a top 10 spot. It worries me.
No, and I actually have him 16th in my quarterback rankings,
and
which will be available for those looking for week 10 updates soon on ESPN.com.
I'm 17.
If you're in a deeper league, I would think that Ryan Tannehill is on your radar. Again, I know Mike just gave you a bunch of damning information. That being said,
some good, some bad.
I mentioned it. Hey, listen, at least he has the ability to run. They're going to need to throw it. They have good weapons in Tennessee. They really do. They don't throw efficiently. But he himself has been accurate so far this year. I can live with the turnovers every once in a while. Well, 6 quarterbacks in a bye. You got to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Goddard for the Eagles makes it as part of, again, this
Hold
sort
on.
Of tight end.
Well, we realize as a part of that note that it's not Zach Goddard. It's either Zach Ertz or Dallas Goddard. We're not going to throw that at any one person because I'm the producer. So we'll put that one on me, Kyle.
I thought it was maybe a joke.
That's on me. Listen, I read it. My mistake. I said Zach Goddard. I meant Dallas Ertz. I saved
that
it, right?
Funny. That was a good
one. I thought it was a joke that I was not in on, so I just was it was in the know. I saw it a few times, and then you said I was like,
oh, cool. So you saw it, didn't say anything to anybody, and just let Field roll right over. That's a cool
thing. I just let it go.
Mike, great teammate.
Yeah,
great
teammate. I was just going to let it go. I mean, I caught it right away because I'm an Eagles fan.
Right, sure. He's cut.
Yeah.
Dallas Goedert of the Philadelphia Eagles is available in about 62% of leagues. Now, he's part of that tight end carousel, and it's kind of sort of silly to even be talking about him this week because they go on a bye. They play the Patriots after that. We actually mentioned this a little bit on the show yesterday. Zach Ertz found his mojo again this past week, Mike. Mm-hmm. He's more emblematic, again, of the Jason Witten conversation we were having earlier. If you don't have one of those top eight, here's what you're doing. You're grabbing a dart. You're finding a little dartboard, and you're saying, pow, can I land on something reasonable? Not even a bullseye, right? There are no bullseyes to be had amongst these tight end twos. But there is, hey, can I get 4 for 60 out of Dallas Goedert? Can I get, you know, I don't know, 5 for 52 out of Jonnu Smith if he fills in for Delanie Walker? Can I get 3 for 40 with a touchdown from Kyle Rudolph like this past week? That's kind of what you're hoping for.
Yeah, his targets are up the past few weeks, but still only averaging 4.6 targets per game over the past 3 weeks, under 50 yards in all but one game this season, under 50 yards in all but one game this season. You said it last week. Basically, you could have just copied and pasted your analysis from last week, which is he's a touchdown-dependent flyer, right? You just hope he finds the end zone. If he doesn't, he's going to bite you as he did this past week when he had 7.9 points. You could do worse at quarterback, but you're hoping for the touchdown. The one thing that is good for him is that DeSean Jackson is going to be out for a while, maybe for the season. Goddard's just going to keep playing. He's going to keep running routes in 12 packages here in this Philadelphia offense. Had Jackson come back, his routes, his targets, his snaps would have went down, so at least that gives him some hope. But you're right. With a bye, you don't need to add him this week, and maybe he has some tight end two value down the stretch.
Probably not, but it would have been really interesting whether the Eagles would have considered claiming Josh Gordon if they had this DeSean Jackson news already in pocket. We'll talk about Josh Gordon in just 1 second. Did you have a point you wanted to make?
Yeah, there's still a pretty good receiver out there. You know, the Eagles need a wide receiver badly right now.
Uh-huh.
There's a guy that's been really good in fantasy the past decade.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I'm not reporting. There's no rumor or anything like that. Nothing, but
I got it, guys.
I would not be surprised. You know Howie Roseman, man. I would not be surprised if there's some conversation going on there.
You guys know what he's saying, right? Mike Clay wants
Tony
Eagles
Brown.
Johnson. Maurice Harris.
He wants Calvin Johnson to come out of retirement.
Maurice Harris.
Oh, Calvin Johnson.
Oh, Maurice Harris. Okay, yes. Okay. Sorry, yeah. I guess. Yeah, we were basically on the same page.
Josh Gordon, in just a second, because again, I think that would have been fascinating if they had actually had this DeSean Jackson news now as opposed to last week when Gordon was available on waivers. Before we talk about Josh Gordon, we're going to have a less enjoyable conversation because talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually we just brush it off or blame ourselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo. Or we avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work, or sorry, honey, I'm just not feeling it. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about. With a real doctor who can prescribe real medication, it's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. The doctor will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and again, discreet. Getting started is also simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/FFF and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today with a doctor and take care of it. Just go to GetRoman.com/FFF to get a free online visit and free 2-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/FFF for free. For a free visit to get started, GetRoman.com/FFF. One day, I will figure out a way to pivot from the Roman reads to fantasy football. Until that time comes, we're just going to get right back into it. Josh Gordon is now a Seattle Seahawk, and Pete Carroll said yesterday he is medically cleared. They play next Monday night. Their schedule upcoming is the 49ers, a bye week, the Eagles, and Minnesota. But I think that's less pertinent right now, Mike, than just this. Is there still upside with Josh Gordon?
Maybe because of the offense, right? Just because of the Seahawks offense. I mean, they lead the NFL right now with 30 offensive touchdowns this season. They have 22 passing touchdowns. That's also first. And how about this one? 41 end zone targets. So Russell Wilson has delivered 41 passes into the confines of the end zone. That is 11 more than any other team. That is a massive gap from 41 to 30. Huge how often Wilson throws it into the end zone. Now, right now, DK Metcalf has handled a lot of them. Lockett was mixed in. You've seen Will Disley had a ton early in the season before he went on the injured list. So that's good. I mean, if Gordon could chip in with a few of them, maybe he gets the occasional touchdown and 4 or 5 targets a game and ends up as a flex option. The problem is, Field, with me, he was in a better position on the depth chart in New England, yep. right? And he didn't finish a single week better than 29th this season. So how does he go to Seattle with, I mean, DK Metcalf's a top 20 fantasy receiver right now, and Tyler Lockett is sitting fourth. Those guys deserve their spots. You shouldn't be reducing DK Metcalf's workload. You should be increasing if anything. Shouldn't be taking targets away from Lockett either. So, again, I think probably an average of 5 targets a game is probably what we should expect from Gordon. And again, in a high-scoring offense, it's more balanced than last year. Maybe he lands on the wide receiver 3 radar. But for now, I think he's an ad, and put him on your bench till we see how his what his workload is.
That is exactly how I feel, Mike. I don't know if he is a must-add in 10-team leagues. My sense is yes, because I do believe he is a talent. Don't know. Is he a unique talent, though, is the question anymore, right? Because he was, for a long stretch of his career, a unique talent. I just don't know if he is a unique talent now, which I wonder if the NFL kind of feels the same way, Mike. I mean, one team claimed him on waivers, and that was the Seahawks at priority number 27. And it's not like you're getting Josh Gordon for $5 million. You're getting him for $1 million for the rest of the season. There are a lot of teams that need wide receivers. Heck, the Panthers claimed Dante Moncrief yesterday. Yeah. For slightly less money than Josh Gordon. I just think that maybe the league doesn't view him in quite the same light now as it did before. That being said, I am a huge fan of Josh Gordon personally, and I want him to do well. I think it'd be a compelling story, and I think that Seattle offers some upside just because of the offense you mentioned. So let's just stop beating around the bush, and let's get right to it. Let's do a name game, because Tony has asked for one. Can we still do that, Daniel?
You bet we can. Here we go.
Everyone knows I have good buns.
Will you just smash him against the window and I'll try to lick him through the glass?
He wasn't expecting to see this kind of action.
That would be a mighty fine booty if you could get him.
All right, enough of the butt talk.
Jake Butt. I was beating it in the preseason and now I need to beat it again.
You obviously work with puppets way too much.
I might try to plunder Corey Clement, but I'm sort of boned out.
Where did you find that out?
It's on Twitter. It's trending.
The throat can only handle so much.
A couple really obvious drops.
God.
This is not a kid show.
Yeah, this is not safe for work, program. Apparently. Let's get to some names that might come to mind as it compares to Josh Gordon. Who's got names? I'll start firing off. You ready for this? Sammy Watkins or Josh Gordon?
Watkins.
Josh Gordon or Corey Davis?
Ah, man. I'm gonna stick with Davis for a little. Yeah. I'm gonna go Davis. He's still at number one on that team. Maybe right. AJ Brown passes him. Gordon at best is a 3.
Okay. Josh Gordon or, man, this is tough. There's like so many random names here. Auden Tate.
I'll go Gordon on that one with AJ Green back, of course. So Tate's the 3.
Presuming
there
he's
now
back.
Too.
Yep. Yeah. Josh Gordon or Devontae Parker?
A Parker.
Josh Gordon or Robbie Anderson?
Man, it's got, I'm going to stick with Robbie. I'm going to stick with Robbie again. He's the number one.
This is pretty far down. I mean, if you're picking, like, you're like mid-30s at this point,
correct.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, that's what we just said. Like, he's an add and stash for right now. I mean,
yeah,
it's going to be hard. And listen, I really want Josh to do well. I just, you know, no more than he had 3 games this year or 4 games this year with 3 or fewer catches.
And like,
it's going to be hard. And 1 touchdown, I believe.
Yeah. He only has 7 games left, including weeks. So 6 until week 16. I mean, they haven't had their bye yet.
Right.
I mean, hard to make a compelling case is more than a end of bench sort of flyer, like just in case. And look, if like Metcalf or Lockett get hurt, which is obviously a possibility, there could be a lot of value just because of the offense, just being in that position. 7 targets and a lot of end zone targets. I mean, a
couple more here. Josh Gordon or Kenny Stills?
I'm going to stick with Stills.
Okay. Josh Gordon or Cole Beasley?
I'm going to go Gordon here just because of more upside. Like Beasley's a little safer, but do you want to start Beasley? I don't think so.
Josh Gordon or AJ Brown?
I'm going to go Brown. I love the talent there.
Okay. That's pretty good perspective there, I think.
I agree.
Again, this is like we hope that Josh Gordon, I hope he proves me wrong and actually has a monster finish to this season. I think there's a chance he is a useful contributor for the Seahawks and a really wise investment for them. But that for fantasy purposes, like for right now, I'm not sure that there's as much value as perhaps we might hope there would have been with New England throughout the season up until his placement on IR and eventual release from IR. All right, do we have a couple of social questions here, Daniel?
We do, from our good friend Keith Lipscomb.
All right, Keith, have at it.
All right, we've got a handful of them here. Rosie wants to know, Cortland Sutton impressed during Brandon Allen's debut. How do you rank him for the rest of the season following the Week 10 bye?
I would say probably about where I had him prior to the injury to Joe Flacco, which is like a top 20 to 25 wide receiver, maybe a little bit more.
Yeah, keep in mind, the Broncos already weren't scoring. In fact, when I was working on like adjusting the offensive output going forward for Denver when Flacco went out, I was like, how much lower can I go? They're already averaging 1.5 touchdowns per game. It was atrocious. And I don't know that I could really move the needle too much there. And you like the 44% target share in his first game. That's obviously huge. It's not going to be that high most weeks, but it's a good sign that Allen went to him often. And keep in mind, they could still switch quarterbacks again because Drew Locke figures to make some starts in the final month. That could throw a wrench into things. But if I have a concern here, it's the fact that the Broncos offense is 22nd in offensive snaps, so it's low volume. They're the sixth run heaviest, so they don't throw it as often as most teams. And it's low scoring, as mentioned, 30th in touchdowns. That bothers me a little bit as somebody that invested heavily in Sutton in offseason drafts. So I view him as more of a wide receiver 3, whereas you say more, I guess we're on the same page in 10-team leagues. We're pretty close, but I think he's maybe closer to 30 than he is 20.
All right, this is not that remarkable, but I think it's kind of cool. As we're sitting here during the podcast and I suggest the idea of, hey, maybe Josh Adams being signed from the Dolphins or to the Dolphins from the Jets, one minute ago on Twitter, our friend Adam Schefter, the great, incomparable GOAT Adam Schefter, says the Jets are signing running back Josh Adams off their practice squad to block another team from adding him to its active roster, not because Le'Veon Bell's knee injury is serious, per source. Bell is, in the word of one source, good. Okay, so a couple of important things there. The important thing is actually that Le'Veon Bell is fine. There's no need to add somebody off of waivers right now. But come on! Tell me blind squirrels don't find nuts, secret squirrel. It's got to be them, right?
I am really proud of you for this one. I want you to know we just witnessed a moment here that I will remember for at least another
10 minutes?
Couple days. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, it had to be the Dolphins, right?
It makes sense, right?
Yeah, it has to be the Dolphins, right?
So good.
Man.
You called it, Field. You called your shot. You're like the babe pointing out in the left field.
Boom!
Right field?
Nailed it.
Right,
yeah,
whatever field. Out in the field?
Yeah, field. Out into the field.
Yeah.
And all right. So we should expect the Dolphins to sign someone else at some point this week.
Right. So we should expect the Dolphins, again, to be looking at other players that are available on practice squads right now. And keep an eye on whether they get signed to the Dolphins' active roster. All right, Keith, what else you got for us?
Andrea wants to know if she can drop Larry Fitzgerald. Three bad weeks in a row.
I would say no, and here's the, well, it depends. 10-team leagues, perhaps. I would say if you need the roster spot for somebody, yes, but really good matchup this week for Larry Fitz. Mm-hmm. And, I wouldn't be in a rush. If you're in a 10-team league, then yes. It's, if you need the spot, you can drop him, but, and maybe this week, because there are six teams on a bye, you do need that roster spot. Like maybe you have Deshaun Watson, you need to replace him for a week, or you have Leonard Fournette, need to replace him for a week. Or Julian Edelman or somebody on the Patriots this week. But I'm not dropping him for somebody that doesn't provide me value. I wouldn't do it unless there's somebody that like definitely provides me value in my roster in one of the next few weeks.
Yeah, I would give him another week because he's playing the defense allowing the most fantasy points to wide receivers this season. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers love the matchup in the slot against Vernon Hargraves, who is, wide receiver cornerback matchups comes out, tomorrow. And in there, I talk about Hargraves and how he's like basically top five in every category against targets, against receptions, receiving yards, fantasy points, touchdowns. So he has really struggled. That's Fitz's primary coverage this week because Arizona has shifted from a lot of four wide sets in the first month of the season to a lot of three wide sets. They've cut that in basically in half. That means Christian Kirk at right receiver this past week. Fitz is now in the slot as the primary inside.
I like that.
He's going to see a ton of Hargraves in this game. I would give it another week. He's my wide receiver 34 this week.
Okay, so again, so just to put a circle on that, if you really need somebody this week, like he's the worst player on your team, Fitz is, and you really need to drop someone to add a new quarterback, yeah, then I think we're fine.
But sure.
I think there's some chance for value this week for Fitz.
Okay, so the next question here comes from Michael, and I'll read the question as he sent it, but then I think we'll have to answer it two different ways.
Okay.
Said long-term PPR, would you rather have Ty Johnson or Jalen Samuels? So my thought was, I asked in here and I didn't get a response, but rest of season, which of one would you prefer? And then in a dynasty or keeper situation?
Yeah, it's,
I think it's the same for both answers for me, actually.
Yeah, it's a week-to-week game. I mean, right now, if I could pick off waivers, one of those guys right now and just add him to my team, it's Samuels, no question, because he's a guy that I can start now. Johnson you may never feel comfortable starting him. They had Jay Ajayi in for a workout. Maybe he signs or someone else does. I just don't feel a lot of confidence there. And long term, I want Samuels as well.
I don't disagree with Mike in any way, shape, or form.
Love it.
That was easy. All right, last one comes from Hulk.
The Hulk?
The Hulk?
The Hulk?
Hard to say. Yeah, he's a pretty big dude, and he's pretty big dude in his picture. So yeah, I mean, it could be.
Yeah, he's a Jets and Eagles fan. I heard.
You won't like him when he's angry.
So he wants to know: is Jack Doyle a good bye week tight end this week?
That's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's fine. I loved him last week. We talked about him on our DFS podcast. Daniel Dott, but he was only 3,000 on DK. I used him a lot, and he scored a touchdown. So I'm very happy with Mr. Jack Doyle right now. He is tight end 11 on my board with no Paris Campbell, with no T.Y. Hilton. They're funneling more targets to the tight end position, and he's benefiting.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way. I've said it. This will be my third time saying it this podcast. He's part of the tight end two class, right? Like, yeah, there's a bunch of guys who aren't George Kittle and Evan Ingram and Travis Kelce and others at the top of the food chain that can be serviceable. They also come with some risk. On Wednesday, I'm not used to having Mike here on a Tuesday. So what do we do on Wednesdays again? We do news. We do wide receiver cornerback matchups.
Or yeah, we do some
rankings. Fantasy 32.
We'll have some updates. Certainly there's some news that will bubble up throughout the day. Perhaps the Dolphins find a new running back. Perhaps Daniel finds a new best friend. There are a lot of things that could happen by the rest of the day.
I actually will not be here tomorrow. Okay. So if Jackson's really bad at his job, please make sure that you let me know on Twitter so that I can have a conversation with him.
But you'll be at bowling today?
I will also not be at bowling
tonight. Oh, okay.
Wow. That's cause for banishment from the team.
Okay. Daniel, so we're just going to lose points this week on our bowling score because you're too cool for school.
Well, if my best friend and love of my life, Phil Yates, was on the bowling team, then maybe I would be there. But
I'll be there.
Okay. You're filling in.
Cancel your plans, Daniel. We'll both be there.
All right.
Jackson's filling in tomorrow. Watch out for a Wally Pip situation. We are back on Wednesday. Stefania will be joining us. We look forward to talking to you guys then. Peace out.
Turning numbers into dreams. That's what he'll do. Along with random Damien. He's in Phil's group. The deepest voice you'll ever hear.